Bibles, I hope you have it and open it up and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. And guys, if you go ahead and get that video ready, I haven't forgotten it. Deuteronomy chapter 19, we'll stand and we'll read two verses, Deuteronomy 19 and then Proverbs 22 verse 28, just those two verses. And then we'll pray, and I have a video I want you to watch. Deuteronomy 19 verse number 14 and also Proverbs 22 and verse 28. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 19, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. One more place, Proverbs 22, please. Proverbs chapter 22. Verse number 28. The Bible says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your wonderful word. Thank you for the power of God's word. Thank you for what it means. And Father, I pray tonight you'll teach us what we need to know from your word. Lord, may it in our own heart be a challenge to draw us back to you. We pray, Lord, that you'd please do a mighty work in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I have a video I want you to watch, and if you would please just a moment as we get it ready. I want you to watch this. You know, I happen to believe that we ought to love America, and this ought to be the place that for us that we can come as a church and say, you know what, we love our country, we support our troops, we stand with our people, and we are there to be an aid to them. Let's watch this video, please. Well, as I think of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 29 of them had theological degrees. Several of those men who signed that Declaration of Independence were pastors. Well, that says a lot about the separation of church and state, doesn't it? I don't know if you realize this, but America was founded on Christian principles. You do not have to go very far to find that to be the case. All you have to do is take a trip to Washington, D.C. and get the true history. And you will find, if you were able to, and you are not able to right now in America, you cannot go to the Capitol building and have a kind of a back area Capitol building tour. You're not allowed to do that anymore. You have to go to the Welcome Center. And when you go to the Welcome Center, what they basically do is they show you everything about the history of our nation without God. And that was built without your approval. They just simply built that in Washington, D.C. You would probably not know that if you had not gone there. I was there a few years ago. They had just finished it up. I did have a back behind-the-scenes tour with David Barton and the wall builders. And I remember they were talking about that. They were showing us where they were building that. The problem in America is the fact that we think we don't need God anymore. That we become convinced that God is not really a part of our society and it really doesn't matter. In fact, the truth of the matter is America is embracing more of Allah than Jesus Christ. You know, we are much more friendly to Allah than we are to Jesus Christ. You cannot carry a Bible in most places in America when it comes to public education, but you can carry a Quran. You know, it's a sad day we live in America because here's the problem. I want you to notice what the Bible is saying about landmarks. I just want to teach you one thought tonight. As I'm thinking about this country, and I love America, and I don't want to sound negative as if I don't love this country because I do. But as we celebrate the 236th anniversary of our nation, we have a great history. I love going to Washington, D.C. My wife and my son and I, when we go there, we just, you know, all we do is just as we walk down those hallways of those buildings and go and see, I mean, literally seeing the history that we read about, we heard about, and we, in our own minds, thought about wondering how all that transpired. We're able to see a lot of the evidence of that right there in front of us. And we do have a grand history. We have a great heritage. And I'm thankful to God for that. But Israel also had a great heritage. They have a heritage, according to the Bible, as a great nation. And because of a nation as great as they are, blessed by God, as America is, that nation had enemies. Israel still today has enemies. And one of the things that the enemies have tried to do is the enemies have tried to take the land away from God's people. Now we know there's a significance because we know that God had promised Abraham the land. That God promises him that in the Abrahamic covenant. And we understand that. And I won't get into all the detail of that. But God has promised this land to the nation and to their inheritance. But there are people or enemies that are trying to take the land away from the nation. If you would, they're trying to remove the landmarks. Now, the landmarks is a boundary line. God mentions it in Scripture on several occasions. Here are two occasions we see it where God is reminding us that we are not to remove the landmarks. The landmarks. There's an amazing truth here. Because these landmarks represent boundary lines. They're lines where the nation itself has established what they would call those foundational places that they will not go over, nor would the enemy be able to move the boundary lines. And tonight, I want to suggest to you that America has had its boundary lines. And I'm thankful to God for the boundary lines that we've been able to enjoy. You know, there was a time in this country, I don't know if you realize this or not, but there was a time in this country that when evangelists would come and preach in America and their sermons would be written on the front page of the newspaper. Remember, I worked in a library and I went and I was a marvel because we had these old newspapers and we could go back and we saw literally. We had Billy Sunday and others, D.L. Moody and others, on the front page of the New York Times, of all places. But the boundary lines have been moved. The boundary lines have been shifted. And there have been those that in this recent history here,
that have moved the boundary lines and have taken away from our nation our boundaries, what we considered as landmarks for us. And I want to tell you this tonight, if we move the boundaries, we remove those landmarks, then we are weakened as a nation. God says this, God says, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? My message tonight, I'm going to give it to you up front. What my challenge to us as God's people tonight is that we pray and that we determine with all that we can do that we put the landmarks back where they belong. Amen. That we put the boundary lines back where they belong. That we do not let the enemy take away our boundaries, take away our landmarks, take away those things that we hold near and dear to us. And what does it mean when these landmarks are reestablished? What does it mean to us? What does it mean to the nation when God was telling them, don't remove the landmarks, do not move the landmark? What was God telling the nation? I want to suggest to you tonight, God was telling them three things, and I want you to notice this and write it down. Number one, these landmarks mean stability. They mean stability. You do realize that we need to have a stable nation. A nation in flux is an unstable nation. There has to be something that we would call the baseline. I was talking to Brother Patchen on Sunday, and he was just telling me a little bit about his work. And some of you can understand this, how that is at his work. They are trying to establish what they call baseline. Now, a baseline is kind of like the norm, the foundation, if you would. I went to the doctor several years ago. I got a new doctor. Here's what he said. I want you to go and get all your blood work done. Now, when it comes to blood and needles, they don't mix with me, all right? I know I need blood to live, but I don't need needles. And so they say, we want you to go get, and I said, why, doctor? Why are we doing it? He said, because I want to get a baseline. I want to look at all of your, where you are. I want to see, you know, your hematocrits and all these other different things. And he gave me this whole list of stuff. And he says, and that gives us a baseline. We know where you are. So that if you, somewhere down the road, you get sick, or somehow down the road you get messed up, or something happens to you, we do blood work. We're going to know this was normal, this is not right, and we've got to fix whatever that is. That's what we're talking about, landmarks tonight. Landmarks are those things that should be the norm. There should not be any repairs done to them because they're stable. They're to be that which, as a nation, we would have to say, you know what? I know that I can believe that my nation is strong, or that my life is strong, or that my family is strong, or that my church is strong, because we have some landmarks that are critical if we are to be stable. Now, we shouldn't be surprised by that. Jesus taught us that. In your notes there, I gave them to you. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus taught us about stability. Here's what he says. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rock descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it's founded upon a rock. Let me ask you tonight, folks, what is the rock? Jesus Christ. Look, if your house, spiritually speaking, if your family, spiritually speaking, if our nation, spiritually speaking, is going to be stable, it's going to have to be built on the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And if you build it any other way, you're going to find it's going to fall. Because if you notice in this passage, God doesn't say, if the storms come. He is making it very clear that when you look at it, he says, there are going to be storms that are going to come in your life. We're going to have them. You can be assured of that. If you've not been through one, look out. You might be heading toward one. You don't know. And what God is reminding us is that what's going to keep us stable is not the whims of the world or the winds as it blows, but it's going to be building our lives upon the person of Jesus Christ. Now, in the nation of Israel, they understood that it was necessary for them to build their foundation right. And it was on the authority of God Almighty through the preaching of the prophets and through the experience of the forefathers. So when I talk about stability, we're talking about stability here. What God is saying is that don't remove that which is stable. Don't mess with your stable things. Don't mess with the things that you need, that are stabilizers for your life. Don't mess with those things. And it's really unfortunate, but that's what has happened, is that we found ourselves messing with that which is stable. So what does this mean then? Well, it means, number one, that these were set by the fathers who founded our nation. In the history of Israel, God had worked through the lives of the founders: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon, and others. I mean, we read about them, and Moses, and all of these men who God had worked in their lives, and he was establishing guidelines. He was establishing principles, foundational truths, landmarks that could be trusted. They were given lands. They were blessed, and so on and so forth. We'll look at that in a minute. But these landmarks, that was the will of God for a nation. That's what God wanted. And by the way, every person in this room, you should have a landmark somewhere in your life. I'm going to be honest with you. One landmark every person needs to have in their life is their quiet time with God. And I'm going to tell you this, the enemy is going to try to take that time away from you. If you let him, he will take it away. Your enemy is the devil himself. It's not that phone or that internet or the emails that keeps beeping at you. Hey, by the way, you know what's a really good thing if you have emails that beep you and try to get all your attention? Turn the alerts off. It's not hard to do. Ask Mark, he'll tell you how to do it. But I mean, the truth of the matter is, we need to focus our attention on those things that are critical in our life. I mean, that is foundational. And God is saying that these were set by our forefathers, and they understood that. I mean, isn't it strike you a little bit interesting that we hear a lot about this separation of church and state, and that somehow or another we can't talk about God and Jesus, and we can't pray in Jesus' name, and we can't do these things in the public domain, yet 29 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were pastors. Doesn't that strike you as a little bit funny? By the way, if you don't believe me, you do your history. Now, I'm not talking about reading that filtered history that the liberals want you to read. I'm talking about read real history. You'll find that's the case. And the problem is that there's enemies that want to remove what our forefathers died for. They shed their blood for them. And I'm thankful tonight that we have some foundations in America. That's what's made this country so great. And some people say, well, it's greatness. I know the shine may be worn off, but I'm going to tell you what, the God of this nation is still around. I haven't given her up yet. I want to bring this nation back to God, and that's my heart's desire. And I see here that God says there's some stability that needs to have in America, and we set it. It was set by the forefathers. Write this one down. Next, it was seen by God. It's seen by God. When we read this account about Israel, the Bible said that God sees the landmarks, these convictions. He sees them. He wants them to make sure that we don't remove our convictions, that we don't let down on our beliefs and what we believe in. Job says it like this: some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. God is not pleased when we remove the landmarks or the convictions that we have as God's people. One of the things that have been always my conviction as a pastor is that the pulpit is the focal point of every church service. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there should be the preaching of God's word. I think that's important. That's critical. You know, we're not going to kind of, you know, pull off to the side here and kind of forget about it. No, that's focal point. Music is good, and thank God for music, and I like music. I like good music, and I believe in all that, but that does not replace the Word of God preaching. And that's what we say. We understand that. Those are convictions. Those are landmarks. The Bible is very clear in that, and when we look at it and we see that, we understand as a nation that that's what has stabilized this nation. That's why we've had great awakenings when the Whitfields were here and when John Wesley came and Charles Wesley and others came. There was the second great awakening, the first great awakening. All of that, we read about that. What took place? It was preaching. It was conviction. It was that of the blessing of God. And I don't want us to forget that as we go into July 4th. I want us to remember that's what this is all about. So when God says don't remove the landmarks, what does he say? He means, number one, that we not remove the stability. But then second of all, what does he mean? He means that we are not, this landmark means salvation. It points to salvation. Why? Because it reveals who God is. It tells us who God is. One of the things I found about children, and children can be fun, and right now some of you are working with your kids tonight, you're trying to help them. And that's okay. It's a good training ground. We're a church family, right? And we understand that. And there are certain services. This happens to just be one. Normally we have a program on Wednesday night, but this is not Wednesday night. This is Tuesday night, okay? And so what we're trying to do is teach them a little bit about, you know, what preaching is. They have to learn how to sit up and sit right and act right and all that. We understand all that. And you know what? They're going to ask you questions. And they're going to ask you questions about what God is doing and what God is. And as they get older, they're going to ask you more and more questions. And we find that to be the case because in the Bible says that it is at this point that when they start asking questions that we want to start telling them about who God is. I want the kids to know who God is. You see, what this landmark means, it means salvation because it tells those around us who God is. Who is God? What is this? When we talk about Jesus, is he just another God? I mean, is he really like all the rest of the saviors of the world? I don't know if you realize this, but we live in a pluralistic society right now. You know, they're trying to say, well, you know, you can believe in Buddha or Jesus or Muhammad or you believe in any of those you want. You know, they're all the same. We're all trying to get to the top the same way. There's only one way. It's Jesus Christ. There is no other God. He is the God. And so what we mean when we talk about salvation, we're saying that they understand who God is. That's what we mean. It reveals who God is to our children and to those around us and to those who come in contact with us. You see, the truth of the matter is tonight, Christian character is shaped in the homes through the daily decisions and actions of the parents. I like what happened when Joshua, in the book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. You guys like the book of Joshua? I love that book because as you work through that book and you study throughout, there's so many practical lessons. And Joshua, when they cross the Jordan River, they go on the other side. The Bible said that they're to make stones. These are landmarks. And read what I put the note there for you in your notes there. I put the verse. Look what it says. And Joshua said, and then pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" Then he shall answer them, "That the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over, where Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel." What does it say? Forever. I mean, when your kids say, "Hey, Dad, why do we go to church on Wednesday night? Dad, why do we read our Bible? Dad, why is it, Mom, why do we go into that nursery? Mom, why did you help out with that lady at the altar? Why were you doing that, Mom?" These are landmarks. What we are doing is when children are asking us why we are doing what we're doing, we say, "Well, look, let me just tell you, here's who God is. God is not one that we just go to on Sunday morning, but God is one that we walk with every day. And that we let Him become a part of our life. And that's why we pray over our meals. And that's why we don't watch certain things on TV that maybe your friends is okay for them to watch, but we don't watch those kind of things. And that's why we have certain kind of music in our church. And that's why we have certain kind of music in our home. And we have certain kind of music we don't have in our home. And that's why Dad doesn't have a subscription to Playboy and all the rest of those. That's why Dad doesn't do that. Because the truth of the matter is that He wants you to understand that God sees everything. That's what I'm talking about, landmarks. What we're doing is we're showing our children who they are. In fact, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. When you study Ephesians chapter 5, the book of Ephesians, especially in chapter 5, it describes the home perfectly. And one of the things it does in that chapter, I'm thoroughly convinced of this in my studies, that as I study chapter 5, that it is a picture of the relationship of the church to Jesus Christ. The home pictures a visible picture to your children and to your neighbors and everybody else who God is in the home. And what I'm saying is simply this: if we let our homes fall apart, we're simply saying our God's not very big. God tonight is clearly to be revealed by what we do. That's what He's saying. They reveal who God is. And as they establish the landmarks and as they're asked about these things, they tell them that God is who God is. But then they go one step further. They tell us what God does. What does God do? Well, let me ask you this. Is God alive tonight? Is He active tonight? Let me ask you this. Is God big enough to save people tonight? I want them to know that. I want every person, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, every teenager, every baby to know that God not only loves them and who He is, but what He does for them. He came and died for them and He gave His life for them that they can be saved. Because the truth of the matter is, God is a God that provides salvation for all of mankind. Aren't you glad He does tonight? Provide it for you. I mean, what would bring you out on a Tuesday night before July 4th? What brings you out here? It's not because of me or the air conditioning. It's because of the fact that we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That we know we're going to heaven. That we know God's made a difference in our life. And that we know what He's done for us. And if I'm going to let people see that, I want them to know that what this means for me to be here tonight is that it means that I'm saved and I know that. And I know what God did for me. Man, I'm so thankful tonight that He saved me. And the songs are the reminder of what God has done for us. For example, in Psalm 30 verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Do you realize tonight God's a holy God? I think sometimes people have the idea that God's like some old fuddy-duddy that sits in a rocking chair with a ball bat waiting for one of us to get out of line and we're going to hit somebody in the head. That's not the God that we serve. Our God's a holy God. Someone asked me, can you describe what he looks like? I remember years ago, a guy had told me that when he prayed, here's what he did. Whenever he got on his knees to pray, close his eyes, all he imagined was a great big bright light. And I thought, that's not God. Now, God is light, no doubt about that, but that's not God. Someone said, well, when I pray, I always think of somebody in a human form. That's how God would be, in a human form, but that's not God either. Because your image would be different than my image, probably. Your image might be like you, and my image might be like me. It's kind of funny. Have you ever noticed some of the pagan gods of our world, how much they take on the nature and culture of the people who make that their god? It's really, really interesting. Masai from Japan knows this very clearly, that the Buddha, for example, in Japan is different from the Buddha in Thailand. That's the way it is. Because they're making it like them. But can I remind you this tonight? God is not in the form of a man. You say, well, then what is he a form of? Well, the Bible says in John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So here's what I believe this. We never did in our home. We didn't have pictures of this long-haired Jesus in our home. You know why? Because I don't want our kids to think Jesus had long hair, number one, because he didn't. And number two is I don't want them to think that's Jesus. Kind of reminds me of a little boy one time. I was up and I was preaching, and I was preaching about Adam and Eve and kind of working my way through. You know, I was just, you know, it was really a new church work. And this young family had come and they brought their little boy. And their little boy was an outgoing young man, you know. And he was the kind of kid that if I let him, he'd probably be preaching in just a few weeks, okay. And I remember he came up to me afterwards and said, "Preacher, you said you didn't know what Adam and Eve looked like, but I want you to know, I know exactly what they look like." So I was really interested to find out what he had to say. And he opened up his picture Bible and showed me, here they are. And unfortunately, that's how some people think Jesus is. Well, here he is, the little long hair. Do you know that the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Scripture? You think Jesus would do something that would violate Scripture? So somehow or another, we don't make Jesus into the image of a man. Now, he was a man, to be sure. But when we talk about God, we understand that God is spirit. And so when I bow down to him, I'm not going to try to squeeze him into some image or into some box, because if I did that, I would violate what God says he is and who he is. I want us to understand that God is bigger than the image of a man or than a box or anything else for that matter, because God is everywhere and all powerful. That's who God is. And when we see this, we understand that when we say the landmarks, what are they revealing for us? Well, number one, it means that for us, that God gives stability. Boy, America needs to go back to some stability, don't they? You ever notice how the stock market is so unstable right now? I don't know if any of you have investments in the stock market. Probably not a good thing right now. I mean, one day they could be up and they have record highs, and the next day they get record lows. But with God, I want to tell you something, the stock market's even. I like that. So I understand that he's stable. Number two, I understand that this means salvation. The landmarks. Look, we can't alter the gospel in America. There's no way should we ever back away from having the gospel preached in America. I remember as a young boy going to school. And I remember going in my first grade class. We didn't have kindergarten in those days. I don't know why they have kindergarten, but they didn't. At least I don't remember. My mom did say she thought she put me into a kindergarten for a couple of weeks, and then I left. I don't know why. Maybe the teacher kicked me out. I don't know, but whatever. But I do know this, that in the first grade, the second grade, the third grade, and the fourth grade, I do know that every one of those grades, they read their Bible and prayed in public school. I remember not only we read our Bible and prayed, but we said the pledge to the flag. I remember we sang the Star Spangled Banner every day. You know why? Because they want to teach us to love God and country. Why have we stopped that? Let me ask you a question tonight. Is our public school better because we quit? I don't think so. I mean, the truth of the matter is tonight, you know what we need in America? To put God back where he belongs. I'm convinced of you. Someone said to me, do you really believe that? Absolutely, or I wouldn't be standing here tonight. God's the answer to this problem. It's not Romney. It's not Obama. Or Jerry Brown. It's Jesus Christ. They're not the answer. He's the answer. But there's one more thing about these landmarks. And what I'm preaching tonight is, remember, I'm saying that what we've done is we've taken some of the landmarks, some of the convictions, some of those things that really have been important to our nation from our forefathers who have bled and suffered and died at wartime for these things, and we've just thrown them out. We've literally lifted them up and thrown them aside. And God is not pleased with that. But there's one more thing I want you to consider. These landmarks, they mean strength. They mean strength. Strength for our present life. For Israel, it meant strength for them. They knew that. They knew that this land that God had given to them, they were blessed. And so when they put down the landmarks, that meant this land belonged to them, given to them by God. It does mean that it was graciously provided. Yes, it had a physical dimension, but they understood it meant more to them than that. It wasn't the fact that they just had physical land, but it was the fact that God gave them that physical land. And tonight, when we think about as we enter into this landmarks we're talking about the fact that we have to make sure that we re-anchor our landmarks where they belong. We're hearing today, right now, a lot of court cases, and they're calling landmark decisions. My concern is these landmark decisions are taking us away from God. But what are some landmarks that we can put for our present life? Let me suggest to you tonight that we have some landmarks we put not only back in our country. And you know what? We only can do so much of where we are. We can vote. We can give our voice. We can give our opinion. We can write our editorials. We can write our congressmen, our senators, and all those kind of things. And we can do that. And I don't see a thing wrong with that as a Christian. But we can also do it in our homes. See, I happen to believe this. My home is my home. The government doesn't own my home. And that means that I can, as I establish my home, I can make some decisions on what can and can't be there. And what are the landmarks, those immovable things that I'm going to keep in my family that to me are critical? So let me give some to you very quickly. Number one is the landmark of salvation. I want salvation to be preached in my home. I wanted my kids to know Christ from the time that they came into this world. In fact, they heard about Jesus Christ before they came into this world. I'm convinced of the fact that a baby can hear everything going on in utero. And I can remember I would preach to them before they even came into the world about Jesus Christ. Because I wanted them to come with that understanding and that knowledge that Jesus Christ loved them and it made all the difference in the world. I'm going to tell you this tonight. If you're waiting until they're 19 or 20, you've already lost the battle. Look, tonight they need to hear that Jesus saves and he makes all the difference in the world. There's another landmark, the landmark of God's Word. Let's put God's Word back into homes once again. If you do have the wrong kind of magazines, get rid of them tonight and get the Bible back in your home. Start reading it together. Let the Bible be the object of your home. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people, the object of their home for many is, you know, the television set. And I'm not against TV, but I'm against it becoming the object of our home. Make sure that we have the Bible back where it belongs. I'm going to tell you this. I think we need to put the Bible back in the schools again, too. But then there's a landmark of God's holiness. We need to once again recognize the holiness of God. We need to exalt God's holiness. We need to lift Him up and raise Him up high. So high that no one would ever confuse Him with the gods of this world. He's holy. There's the landmark of God's deliverance. God's able to deliver us. That's what Israel needed. They needed that landmark. They had that. They knew that God was able. As they were walking across that Red Sea and they looked at all that dry ground and they saw what God did, and they said they're carrying these stones and they established it there. And the children said, "What do these stones mean?" That means that God can still deliver us. And when we get in our car, we drive to church and kids say, "Dad, what does church mean?" That means that God's still able to deliver us. That means the Word of God is still true. That means that God still saves souls. And that's why I get in my car and I drive over here and I go out soul winning on Monday night. And that's why on Tuesday when I'm out, I'm passing out gospel tracts, and Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm telling people about Christ. Why? Because I believe that God still saves. How about you tonight? See, that's what we need to do in America. We need to get people back with that landmark in their life. See, you know what? You know what's been happening? The devil's been beating on us so bad that we're scared to death to say anything. Hey, the world's not scared to say anything about their sin, are they? Some of the filthy garbage that we hear out in the streets, I'm so shocked. I walk down the mall and I hear women talk worse than men do. You know, why can't we talk about Jesus Christ? Oh, we're afraid. Don't be afraid. You got something true. They got something that's a lie anyway. So we have the strength for the present life, and then we have the strength for the future heritage. We must value and cling to that which is godly and proper. Amen. I want to pass on my heritage to others. I don't know how much longer I'm going to have here. It may not be much longer. I don't know. But I do know this. I'd like to be able to die and with this hand, at my deathbed, pass it on to the next generation. Say, here, you take it and you preach it like we did. It's worth it. Boy, America has moved some landmarks, haven't they? We moved them. But let me ask you a question. You think God can bring them back? Absolutely. God can bring them back as God's people make the choices. Tonight, we need to get some landmarks back, right where they belong. Starts with our homes, our families, our children. And I just pray that God will help us to have the landmarks in place so that we can do God's will. See God save this nation. I haven't given her up. I still like 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible. Believe in that. It's over my desk in my office as a memorial to me to remind myself that God is still able to turn this nation back. May God help us to do our part. We can't do everybody else's part, but we can do our part in going back to God. Heavenly Father,